Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Legend Tech. I'm your host, Rishu, the unofficial youngest podcaster on the planet, and today I'm going to be sharing my experience in Mark Rober's monthly class, and also the latest and greatest advances happening in technology, which will be our new main focus of the show. Anyway, welcome to Legend Tech. I'm going to tell you about my experience in Mark Rober's monthly class. In Mark Rober's monthly class, essentially, you were supposed to do creative engineering. I think MatPat, the host of The Game Theorist on YouTube, he attended, and he got 10 points off on his first thing. That was a joke, on his first assignment. And so basically, you start off with brainstorming using index cards. He teaches you Big Robots Pop Footballs, or Brainstorm Research Prototype Final Build. And you're supposed to brainstorm an idea of something built using mechanical engineering that relates to food. So, for example, you could do something for your kitchen, or something to make food, or something for grocery shopping, or anything related to food. I built a spice server, and it was basically a place to keep all of your spices at one place, and you could just pull a little key, and then it would dispense your spice. And basically, I thought it was a pretty good idea of mechanical engineering for the first, then for the second, you'd do electrical, and for the third, then you'd combine mechanical and electrical. Though I did feel I was limited a bit for the mechanical engineering, but, well, yeah. Another thing is, in his classes, he made sure to, he did a pretty good job of making them engaging. They weren't as edited and as fully complete, I would say, as his YouTube videos, but they were pretty good. He put in a little bit of editing. He would keep it engaging by doing things as, for example, he built a candy catapult using pneumatics, and he would test it on a cardboard cutout of Will Ferrell. And yeah, that was pretty good. Some of the classes at times, though, he basically had video classes, and then you would do things on your own. And in these video classes, you essentially, it was kind of hard sometimes to keep up with him. He would go really fast, so and sometimes the worst part about him was sometimes it would just feel like a big giant ad for his YouTube videos, but I don't know how to say it. I mean, he was referencing them a lot, I guess, so it's not an ad, but it felt like an ad. And now I'm going to go down to the peer groups. So you essentially had a peer group for your class, and my peer group had about 22 people, and a bunch of them just stopped. I think you could get a refund in the first 5 days. They just didn't like it. But, yeah, the peer groups weren't so great. You could see everyone's things, like everyone's projects, but you couldn't really communicate with them. I heard some people said that they wanted a better way to communicate with their peers, and the monthly feedback or help support team, they just said that you can link your social medias, and that wasn't really a good response. I also want to say it was pretty hard to get in contact with Mark, which was one of the first reasons that we wanted to join the class. It was probably because everyone wanted feedback from Mark, but we couldn't all get it because I bet there was a ton of people. But that was frustrating. Like, you didn't comment on any of my posts. You could post things like an Instagram feed of your, you could post your what your project was. He didn't comment on mine, but he didn't comment on a bunch of others, which I get because there was a lot of people. And he probably is doing other work. But yeah, that was frustrating at times. And for the peer group, there was also this thing where you could comment on others, and that was one of the main assignments. And that's going to bring me into my next thing, which is that a bunch of monthly projects had a bunch of bugs. There was countless bugs in there, and that really didn't help to the class, because it was $250, which is pretty expensive for 1 month. And the second project was electrical engineering. I decided to make an LED weather animation. It didn't really work out because it was too ambitious. I didn't know C++. And he made a pointillism printer. So my expectations of what I could do were really high, but since I didn't know C++ and he did, it kind of made me feel overwhelmed and like I didn't know what to do. So that wasn't fun, but I figured it out. I got some stuff done. I didn't get the whole weather controlled thing got done, but yeah, I got some. And again, the peer groups for this were really bad because my peers, they never filled out those comments. So there was these comments that on you could comment on other people's posts as an assignment. So you had three or four peers that you were assigned to, and they forced you to comment on their posts. So I did that, but I barely got any comments, and yeah, those people didn't really do their assignment for me. So I didn't really get much feedback. So it was kind of hard. But the third and final project was to combine electrical engineering. By the way, for electrical engineering, he used a lot of Arduino, and he taught you about circuits. That I really liked, that he taught you about circuits and things, but he didn't really teach you code, but because he said it's not a coding class, which I guess I get. But for the third one, you combined Arduino and electrical engineering knowledge with your mechanical engineering knowledge. And if I forgot to mention, I think I did, mechanical engineering is essentially basically what he meant by that was, like, you know, wood and things that don't require too much electricity. Like, no motors and things for the first build. But anyway, you're allowed to combine them for the third build for an ultimate engineering build. You know what I mean? So, in that, what I essentially did is I created a box, and it locks in the morning if with your laptop and phone inside or whatever you want if you don't wake up, which is an incentive for me to wake up. Because the theme of the final one was to instill a good habit or break a bad habit. I want to break the habit of sleeping through my alarms, so this I knew would definitely wake me up because I do not want to lose my phone and laptop. And that was pretty hard to code because I didn't really know a lot, and it used 86 million milliseconds of delay, and it was pretty hard for me to get the Arduino to compute it, but it finally did. And yeah, Mark, and he essentially made the things that he advertised in his video on YouTube. He made a blender that when you solve a Rubik's Cube, it will give you Reese's Pieces, and if you don't do it on time, it'll say, no, I mean, if you keep the door open of Reese's Pieces too long, it'll say, close the door, fatty, which required Python because he used Raspberry Pi, and I'm currently learning Python, but I didn't know much of it at the time, so it was kind of hard for me, and I didn't use Raspberry Pi, so I just used a servo motor, but the other thing he made was this thing was purely mechanical engineering. So when you cool aluminum, it shrinks, but when you heat it, expands. So he froze aluminum around stainless steel, there was ice cream in there. So no one could get into the ice cream because it was pressured with 500 tons of force, or, you know, 500 pounds of force or something. And the only way to open it was to run hot water on it for 30 seconds, which means the aluminum would expand and allow it to open. But the thing is, in that 30 seconds, he could also think, should I be eating ice cream, which will help with the bad habits. And then after that, essentially, you just were done. He taught you a little bit of CAD and 3D printing. He taught you CAD. I think the steps were sketch, extrude, revolve, shell, and this one other that, like, smoothed out, blend was the last one, smoothened out the edges. And then on the final thing, he taught you how to make a Mark Rober style video using Adobe Premiere Pro. And yeah, that was essentially it. And although he, on the goodbye video, he did sneak in one last big robots pop footballs. Yeah, that was my experience in Mark Rober's class. I know I stuttered a lot, I'm sorry, but I am going to be back with you with the latest tech after this short sponsor break. Things off with tech, I basically want to talk about Elon Musk and his $30 million tunnels under Miami. So basically, our Lord and Savior Elon told the mayor of Miami that the Boring Company could dig a 2-mile tunnel for as little as $30 million, versus a projected $1 billion. Elon also told the mayor that he could dig it in a little over 6 months, and compared to the original 4-year estimate, these are massive improvements. Also, most of you will probably already know this, but for those of you who don't, basically the Boring Company is a firm that created the infamous Not a Flamethrowers, and they're also creating these tunnels. And these tunnels are being built to deplete traffic and also to let fewer toxins and greenhouse gases from cars escape into the atmosphere. And these greenhouse gases are a major contributor to global warming. But overall, the main function of these tunnels is to let Elon's famous car, the Tesla, easily travel beneath the city, which, as I said earlier, would not only significantly reduce traffic, but also be the main incentive to people looking to buy a Tesla to actually purchase one. Smart move, Elon. Smart move. Now to the next topic. Fans of the Final Fantasy series may be thrilled to hear that Final Fantasy XIV is coming to the PS5. Now, I do not know how relevant this is to you, because I do not know if my main audience is people who play JRPGs, and I highly doubt that anyone listening to this has a PlayStation 5, because it seems to us that Sony only managed to produce about 7 of them. But I'm going to include it anyway. So first of all, I am not sure this is official, but according to a Verge article, there is a teaser trailer for Final Fantasy XIV released that showed the game running in 4K resolution. So there is hope, everyone. Moving on, I want to talk about the OnePlus 9 leaks and rumors. OnePlus is notorious for letting themselves get leaked all of the phone designs being predicted many months before launch. And guess what? That happened again. So far, the OnePlus Pro is apparently going to rock a 405 camera setup. Like kind of an S21 Ultra style. Now, I personally don't like the design of it. I personally have liked the camera design of the OnePlus 7 Pro, which is the phone I have in my pocket right now. The reason I didn't get the 8 is actually because I love the pop-up mechanism so much. But we'll have to see with the 9. Apparently, they're going to do this Apple style and have 3 different versions of their phone this year. So supposedly, they'll have the 9, the 9 Pro, and the 9 Lite. The screen size should be larger than the 8T's 6.55 inches, but we'll have to see. What I'm hoping for, though, is a better camera, a lower starting price to make them the flagship killer again, and maybe wireless charging on the regular models, since last year it was only on the Pro version of their phone. I'm also hoping for a telephoto camera on the regular model, and maybe a 4K screen and a 144Hz refresh rate on the Pro version. And also, we could maybe have less drastic screen curves on the display. All that said, it is doubtful that all of this could happen, since they do need to make money, and putting all of these into that price would not mean great profit. But I'm still hoping that all of this might happen. Now on to a new segment of our show called Quick News. Here we go. Welcome back, let's head right into quick news. What is it? Well, you'll get the idea. As of February 7th, Dogecoin has reached about 7 cents, while Bitcoin is just under $40,000. Microsoft is apparently going to wipe out the old Edge browser in the upcoming security update. The CEO of Twitter is setting up a Bitcoin node. Jeff Bezos is stepping down as the CEO of Amazon so he can fully focus on his space travel company, Blue Origin, which is focused on making going to space a tourist attraction. Many are saying that the Galaxy S21 is far better than the iPhone 12 Pro, and I agree. Robinhood has stopped limiting GameStop shares. There will probably be at least 10 or 15 more bits of quick news next week, but that's a wrap, folks. I'll see you in the next episode of Legend Tech.